Now, through the month of November, I have sought to take some passage of Scripture. It worked out appropriately so because of the text where I was in the book of Hebrews to give thanks to God for the subject matter therein. Today, I'm walking away from that book for this particular Sunday morning to talk to you out of some selected Scriptures about the spiritual power of giving thanks. Now listen, twofold or threefold. November is Thanksgiving. Secondly, we want November to be a special time in us of giving thanks. Forget the day on the calendar. Pagans can honor a day on the calendar, but it takes a child of God to honor a character trait that the Bible indicates should possess our hearts, and our hearts should be possessed by the giving of thanks to the one who is worthy of that. You agree with that? The third thing, during this month, we, because we feel compelled in our hearts, not because the pastor asked it, we feel compelled in our hearts to give God something through this church that just says, Lord, this is my thanksgiving offering to you, meaning not a certain day again on a calendar. I just want to take this opportunity, Lord, to give this to you, to say to you, I appreciate you. With this offering, I'm not asking for anything. Some of you have done that. I don't know who has and who hadn't, and that's immaterial. I want to give you that opportunity today as we finish this particular emphasis in this month to do what you think is the way you want to say thank you to the Lord God for 1,001 blessings. Because, folks, the breath I breathe has been loaned to me by God. The heart that beats in my chest is beating right now by the Lord God Himself who gave me physical life. The spiritual life inside my soul was given to me by Him, and I am one heartbeat away from seeing Him, just one heartbeat. If I miss the next one, I will be in the presence of God, and you will too, prepared or unprepared. You know, and some people can't deal with reality. If you talk too much about meeting Jesus, somebody's going to say, morbid. Folks, if you find reality morbid, you are morbid. Folks, don't ever let the devil trick you that reality is something you should shun. Reality for the child of God is both currently wonderful and going to get a whole lot better. Folks, what's awaiting the people of God, we would use the word glorious, meaning it is likened to the glory of God. There's nothing on earth that describes adequately what is awaiting the people of God. Now, as a definite part of giving thanks, it is beneficial to us. That attitude that possesses my heart and yours is beneficial to us day by day. And I don't know about you, it's kind of bad for the reputation to be too honest, particularly on a Sunday morning. I mean, we've kind of dressed up and come to church to let on like we are something. And sometimes we're not as much as we're dressed up to be. At least I know one better than I do the others because I dress him every Sunday. What I'm trying to say to you in a roundabout way is I don't always give thanks. And if I'm not careful, I let the same influences come against me that comes against you. And I find that the things we want to look at today out of selected scriptures are realities that I need to latch on to. And they, by the grace of God, and it'll be the grace of God, becomes part in a greater way of the fabric of my life. Folks, when I read the Bible as a child of God, when I preach the Bible as a pastor, when I share the Word of God with people, if it's not going to have any bearing on my personal walk and on my soul, I'm wasting my time. Folks, we do not need just an academic exercise in what the Bible says. That is absolutely worthless. We need to know when we look at passages in the Bible, what does that mean for me? And I think this morning, if you'll just let me have a few minutes to talk to you about these things, I believe you will see a spiritual power for your life and mine as we learn to give thanks. So with that said, You can go ahead and open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to deal with a verse or two out of that particular chapter. And if you're going to, and I'll give you a different text for the 4 points I want to talk to you about. And if you want to jot down something, here's where we're starting. Thanksgiving, I mean giving of thanks, is a weapon to be used prior to your warfare. I mean before you get into battle. You know, we most often think of giving thanks coming after that God has answered a prayer or rescued his people or the enemy is defeated. That's not inappropriate. But we do find examples in God's Word of God's people thanking God as a weapon before the battle begins. So item A, in the 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat's army was thanking God before going into battle. Now, as they did so, no doubt their enemies must have thought that among Judah, they had lost their mind, that Judah had lost their mind. Here we are coming into a battlefield, and they're praising God. But the soldier's song of thanks proved to be more powerful than any sword that day. Here's what the text says. For when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed, they were defeated, they were overcome. So Judah's enemies in this case were conquered by song and praise. You don't think about the first sound heard on the battlefield or the two words give thanks, but that's what is being stated here. Many a spiritual battle today is won with the same words, even though we may not be facing the very exact same enemy they were. We do face our enemies, and all of our enemies are not from without. Some are from within, and many a sin is defeated, and many a lie is cast down, and many a devil and demon flees at the sound of the weapon called thanksgiving. So giving thanks is good to use before you go on the battlefield. There's another one. Daniel gives thanks in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel gives thanks prior to being cast into the lion's den. Now, you remember the story of Daniel, where Daniel was faced with a decree that King Darius had set forth because Daniel had appointed 120 princes. The one that was favored over all was Daniel, and they did not like him. So they said, if we're going to get to him, we've got to do something that would lay a trap because of the way he relates to his God. We can't find anything wrong with him, so we'll try to lay a trap. And the other princes came to King Darius and said, we think you need to make a decree that says, whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. That's Daniel chapter 6, verse 7. So this is a setup that the other princes have gotten the king to do. And so when he makes the decree, a king cannot go back on his decree. And Daniel knew that he was not going to go a solid month without praying to God. And he also knew if it was 24 hours, he was not going to in any way make a petition to an earthly king, because making prayers and petitions to an earthly king is meaningless. And so the Bible says of Daniel, quote, he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed as he had done previously. He didn't pay any attention to King Darius's decree. And he did ask. In that time when he did that, he just did what he was normally doing, and he did not ask for any type of deliverance. And the Bible says that Daniel, quote, gave thanks before his God. So with the weapon of giving thanks, he defeated the personal fear that would have overcome him. You know, we often remove the humanness from these biblical accounts, and Daniel was very much a human. He never looked forward to a lion's den any more than you and I would. But by the weapon of giving thanks, he defeated fear. He was in that giving thanks, declaring how faithful God had been, and he trusted God in that night that would have been so difficult prior to the morning of being cast into a lion's den. I say to you that Daniel learned to give thanks prior to the battle of facing something that is most unpleasant to face. So thanksgiving is a weapon to be used prior to going to battle. If you're keeping notes, there's a second thing. Thanksgiving was a weapon for our Lord. Have you considered how thanksgiving was a weapon for our Lord Himself? When we come to the biblical account in Mark chapter 8, Jesus fed the 4,000. And He asked among them, I'm not going to send the people back because some traveled a long journey, it's late in the day, and some of them would, in essence, to use modern day vernacular, they'll pass out on their ways home, and I don't want to send them away hungry. Do you have any bread? And they said, we have seven loaves. And so Jesus takes seven loaves, which was not enough to feed the 4,000. And the Bible says that He gave thanks. So He gave thanks to the Father before the 4,000 were fed. And He gave thanks to His Father before He raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11. The Bible says in John 11 that He lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee. Now this was as they was going to roll the stone away from that tomb. And He had been warned by Lazarus' sisters, don't do that, Lord. He's been dead these 4 days. He stinks. And Jesus, as they moved the stone, looked up to the Father and thanked Him that He had heard Him. So Jesus is using thanksgiving here as a weapon in that moment. And also Jesus used it one other time we know of. He thanked His Father before He was betrayed. You have sat through church service after church service. If you have obeyed God with the Lord's Supper, and you have heard not only this pastor but other ones use the same text of Scripture, that when Jesus took the cup, that was the night before He was betrayed, He took the cup and He gave thanks and gave it to them. And through that thank you, Jesus was looking forward to a coming day. How do we know that? Because Jesus said this, quote, to that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. He mentioned that in Matthew chapter 26. And Jesus found strength in that moment of thanking God for a cup, which you've heard me say many times, the most quite amazing verse maybe in all the Bible. Folks, it doesn't take anything for me to hold up a cup and symbolizing His blood, and I give thanks for it. Man, I ought to. But Jesus knew when He held up that cup and gave thanks, that's His blood. He is able to give thanks for the blood that He's going to shed. And I have no doubt in my mind that as He did that, He's looking forward to that coming day when that tomb, He will not any longer be in it, but He will be out of it. And because He will be out of it, we'll never be condemned by it. Because great is the resurrection coming for the people of God, because He is the first fruits of those who died. Folks, more fruit's coming, and I'm looking at that fruit right here. There's a third thing. Thanksgiving is a weapon against your inner battles. How do we know that? Well, thanksgiving is a weapon against worry, because Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. You know what that means. That means don't worry about anything. Now, I don't imagine there's a person in this room that's prone to worry. Or do I need to change that statement and say, I would imagine most every person in the room is prone to worry. Depends on what it is. And some of us truly are not 100% sure we're a burden for something and worry about something. I'm not sure where one ends and the other starts. They both feel a lot the same. It could be that the burden is that we want God to move, and worry is that we're not sure that if He doesn't move, that it's not going to be all right. Folks, if God chooses not to move, can I let you in on something if you're talking about one of His children? If He chooses not to move, it is going to be all right. I remember some years ago that was brought home to my understanding, and I thought, Wayne, could you have said that? They reported some years ago now, if somebody's hearing this, this is not anything recent, so there's nobody in bad shape physically. Years ago, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Seminary, was told, you've got an infection in your finger, and it could take your life. And they put him in the hospital worried about him. And he was quite sick for a number of days. I'm not sure what the infection was, nor does it matter at this point. But I heard him make this statement after he was out of the hospital. If the Lord had not chosen to heal me, it would have still been all right. Now, I think that's where the burden stopped. I mean, that's where the worry is no longer there, but just the burden. Lord, I'd like for you to, if you could, but if you don't, that'll be all right. You know, many times, folks, and I'm dealing more with my heart here than I am yours, many times we don't want to go on record, Lord, if you choose not to, it's going to be all right. Now, folks, God doesn't make any mistakes. Now, he does a lot of things I don't understand. He does a lot of things that I would have to say to you, well, this too shall finally pass. I don't know in what form, but it'll pass. He does some things that I can't figure out why it happened like it did. But God's got a reason. It is all right. And he doesn't have to explain it to Brother Wayne for it to be all right. Folks, God's God, whether Brother Wayne ever understands it or not. Isn't that good? You're getting real quiet on me. You struggle with some of the same things I do, don't you? So thanksgiving is a weapon against worry. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Does that mean, Pastor, we're not supposed to care? No, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to care. Does that mean we shouldn't pray? No, you should pray. But trust that God is working out a plan that we do not fully understand. So in these moments, as the songwriter said, when I can't trace his hand, I will make it a volitional choice to trust his heart. Now, folks, his heart can't be bad. If you think God's heart is bad, then you don't know the God of the Bible. You know some figment of your imagination of that God. And all of us stand very dangerously close at times in our lives of not accepting what God says about himself, but we want to write what we want God to be. Now, folks, I don't have a right to make God into something he's not. And he is not Santa Claus that's in heaven trying to pass out gifts to everybody. He's not a glorified bellhop that when you holler at him to come get your luggage or whatever it is, he's just absolutely got to come get it every time. No, he doesn't have to do that. And that ought to do something to our gratitude that he can be trusted, because, folks, if you and I have a faith that can't be tried, then that faith can't be trusted. And when our faith is tried, we find that God is indeed faithful. Thanksgiving is a doorway of added grace for your mind, because he says to us in that same Philippian passage, the latter part of verse 6, make your requests known unto God. God says, don't worry about it, but go ahead and make your requests to me. God is capable. He is working out a plan that we do not fully understand, but he will answer your prayers according to his will and purpose. And we all have prayed more times than not, Lord, I'm not 100% sure how to pray in this, but I do want your will finally to be done. So, Lord, I'm making these requests to you. Thanksgiving is a weapon to combat sexual temptation. We live in a sex-crazy world. I've often thought that, but no more crazy than now, because we have pushed in our faces all forms of deviant sexual expression. It's normal to do the following. It's normal to do the following. It's normal to do the following. It'd be some goofy stuff. Folks, let me tell you what's normal. It's normal for a boy to desire a girl to desire a boy, and they end up in marriage led by God and have their sexual expression in the bonds of holy wedlock. Now, that is normal. That is appropriate. Nothing outside of that is normal or appropriate. It may be common, but it's not normal. Now, the world can't deal with that, so we've got to come up with forms of safe sex. Folks, if you do it God's way, it ain't dangerous. You're not trying to escape danger. It is safe. Now, look what the Scripture has to say with us. In Ephesians 5:3, you will create an atmosphere, if we read these verses in a moment, that will choke out lust, because he talks here about removing filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting, which is just crude jokes, from your mind and from your mouth. And Paul said to fill your soul with gratitude in place of sexual sin in Ephesians 5:4, after he said, do away with these things, which has to do with lust, but rather give thanks. Now, why did he say give thanks in the middle of a passage that's dealing with sexual impropriety? Because sexual lust cannot live in a truly thankful heart that knows that God is my ultimate and really only treasure. And any treasures down here I can enjoy appropriately, I enjoy them through God as my Father. And whatever you can't enjoy through God as Father, you don't need to be a part of. That's why he said marriage is honorable and the bed, a euphemism for the sex act, is undefiled. And I will say to you that once again, that thanksgiving is a weapon to combat your sexual temptation. Now there's a fourth and final thing I want to mention to you. Thanksgiving is to be a way of life for the Christian. When Paul wrote in Romans 1 of man's depraved heart, he thought and said to us that a depraved heart is evidenced by, quote, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, emphasis please, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. One of the signs that a heart is not related to God is that it seldom sincerely says to the Lord, thank you. What can a Christian do if you're not normally given to gratitude? And I live by an understanding that I need to be careful and guard my heart, because my regular human heart, or the heart of my human spirit, will not, unless I give it attention, just gravitate itself to what is spiritual. My heart will gravitate itself to what is carnal. So if I'm not given to gratitude, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'd suggest you better call on and ask the one who can help you reprogram your heart to reprogram it. You say, Pastor, how would God help me reprogram my heart? I'd make this suggestion. First of all, I think he would want you to start your day by giving thanks. Begin when you wake up by saying thank you. Before you say help me or bless me, say thank you. Let it be the first words on your lip. Lord, thank you for letting me open my eyes. I bow before your lordship today, and help me to remember that I will not want to be a part of anything today that you do not lead me in. Take my thought life and keep me with a grateful heart. And we must be careful if we habitually thank God from a thankless heart. Did you know you can thank God from a thankless heart? Did you know that Jesus rebuked people who thanked him, but their heart wasn't thankful? Here's what he said in Matthew 15. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's possible to say a whole lot of thankful, 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 Lord, and your heart not be in it. Did you know that what may very well be, I can't think of anything that it would exceed it, the worst prayer ever prayed in the Bible begins with the words, thank you. The Pharisee stood one day and said to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. He was thanking God. But folks, he wasn't thanking God like God wants thanks. So, in my estimation, that may be the worst prayer prayed in the Scripture. I would say to you a second thing other than begin your day with thanksgiving, that would be to continue throughout the day with thanksgiving, because it'll be no surprise to this congregation that Paul taught us, quote, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning somebody else. Is that what Scripture says? No. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, Wayne Robertson, and concerning you. His admonition here is not that we just say, oh, I need to thank God for that. He wants it to be by a heart resolve that we do that. Why not try to remember for a moment how he has answered your prayers in the past? And I would just put this in parentheses. If someone walked up to you unannounced and said, tell me how God has answered your prayers in the past, could you come up with one? Now, folks, here's the deal. I think I know, and I think you know, God has answered your prayers in the past. But if it's hard for me to tell you when he did, you know what that probably means about me or you? I've kind of let that slip my mind. And folks, a prayer that God has answered ought not be something that so falls to the wayside that it has left my memory. In our next study of the book of Hebrews, the writer will say, you need to give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. When for the time you ought to be teaching, you have need to be taught again. Folks, that is as much a possibility for your pastor or you as it is anybody anywhere. His admonition is that we are to thank God for past answered prayers. How about the many benefits and gifts? The Bible speaks of him loading us daily with benefits. Did you know I could hear this morning if I only had one ear, but I sure am glad to be able to hear out of both. I could see this morning with one eye, but I sure am glad I have two. I could get by with a lot of things I don't have, but I sure am glad God loads me daily with benefits. Folks, it was a benefit this morning that I was able to awaken before the clock went off, as I do most every Sunday morning, and I could say to the Lord, good morning, Lord. Do you say good morning, Lord, or Lord, it's morning? How do you do that? It was good this morning that I did not have to ask my wife or somebody to help me get out of bed. It was good that I could take my pajamas off and go get myself bathed and dressed and get myself ready and pull my boots on. I remember a day I couldn't do that. Does he have to take things away from us before we are thankful for the many benefits? Folks, that's a benefit. There are people all over this town in nursing facilities that can't find their shoes, much less put them on. That's a benefit. And so if you sincerely travel the road of thankfulness as a, you know, we're prone to use the phrase as a second nature. I want to suggest to you that thankfulness ought not be second nature, it ought to be first nature. And if you will travel the highway of thankfulness every day and resolve in your heart, I'm going to start my day, I'm going to be conscious of what God is doing, I'm going to tell you where that road will lead you. You won't be able to get down that road very far. And I tell you what you're going to see down that road. You're going to see a cross. You're going to see a Savior who suffered and bled and died there. You're going to see right about that place, around that time, a tomb. Then you're going to see a Savior in a tomb. And 3 days later, you're going to see him resurrected. Then you're going to see him on this earth showing himself of infallible proofs. And you're going to see him ascended back to the Father. And the same one that we find recorded that there's historical record for said, now I'm coming again, and that's coming. That'll do something for you. For your gratitude. Folks, when we learn to do that, we often read the 23rd Psalm, appropriately so. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You reckon he might then prepare a table before you in the presence of worry and lust and bitterness and unthankfulness, and then all of a sudden you'll begin to overflow with the gratitude and grace that you see that you've been the recipient of. Folks, if there's anything worse than not having any blessing, is to be showered and not care. The last thing I want to say about the Thanksgiving as a way of life for the Christian, overflowing with Thanksgiving ought to be a way of life for every one of us. When you overflow throughout the day and Thanksgiving becomes a way of life, you'll learn that thanksgiving is what supports me. It keeps my mind where it ought to be. It keeps my heart where it ought to be. It keeps my mouth where it ought to be. It sure is hard to talk ugly and be thankful. It sure is hard to be mad with your neighbor and be thankful. Paul wrote these words, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, he's not talking about abounding over in a private place somewhere. He's not talking about something so modest you don't want to mention it. He's not necessarily talking about getting in the back of a pickup truck with a loudspeaker, but he's talking about as you are going through life, do not be ashamed to say to somebody, "God's been good to me and God's blessed me." The other day, and I thought how significant this could be, didn't know it was going to be a sermon illustration. Beth and I coming home from the Garnto's funeral in North Georgia. She's driving, and I'm over in the passenger side, and all of a sudden my watch said, "Tut-tut," and I looked down, my watch is gone. And it had come loose and fallen down beside the seat. Folks, there's not enough room in there to get your imagination, much less your hand. So as soon as we stopped, I reached down and got the watch. So I take it by a watch place to get it repaired, and the guy comes out and he said, "Sir, this is the pin," because I was able to save the pin. It was still stuck in the band. He said, "But right here, you won't see it if I try to show it to you. It's just a little area that pin goes through, and as the pin goes through it, there is a little bushing." Folks, it wasn't a quarter inch long. I'll be generous and say 3/16. And small, nothing like big as a toothpick. He said, "I won't have a bushing for this." He said, "I could try to make something work, but it won't be the same. Do you suppose you could find that bushing?" I said, "Huh?" I said, "I was in the vehicle I'm in. I'll be glad to go look, but sir, where that fell," I said, "let me go look." So I go out and go around to the passenger side, and I just run that seat up as far as it'll go. I open the back door and I looked. This is the man that they all say is blind. He can't see the light of day. And I thought I saw some little something shiny. I reached down. Tiny is not the word. I did this way and kicked that door because I didn't want to move that finger off that hand. And I go back to the door and I use this hand to pull the door open. And I walked up to that lady and I said, "Behold, look." She said, "That's what he's wanting." I said, "I'm in a state of shock." She said, "Sir, you were lucky." I said, "Ma'am, if you don't mind me saying so, I think I've been blessed from above." Amen. Now, folks, people that don't know our Christ, they have a lot of things, and they're quick to say, "You're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky." That word does not belong in the vocabulary of a child of God. My steps are ordered. It would have been all right if he had not let me find that. That was not going to kill my life. This is a watch I value, not because it's necessarily worth a mint. Papa Sam gave me that watch. I've been wearing it for years. And I didn't want to have to do away with that watch. And I don't know that she ever understood what I said. But folks, I'm aware of this. My steps are ordered and your steps are ordered. And I'm not going to miss a chance. Of course, I praised him. I'm not going to miss a chance to say, "Thank you, Lord, and that my blessings have not come because of luck. My blessings have come because God has in spite of me." Did you get that? Not because of me, but in spite of me, poured out blessings on me. Just one, boy, that could get emotional. Just one of countless benefits that's come my way. Folks, God will find the bushing for your watch band if he wants to. He can heal your cancer if he wants to. And I asked him again and again and again and again to heal my mother and heal my daddy. And he gave them an ultimate healing, and he called them home. And that's all right, too. It hurt my heart to say goodbye, but it's going to gladden my heart to say hello there, Mom and Dad. Hadn't seen you in a while. God knows what he's doing. I live mostly to my own dismay and to my own chagrin, and I'll let you decide if that describes you. I live too much in the moment and not the purpose for the moment. The purpose of the moment is to glorify, praise him, and give him thanks. And when I learn to do that, there's a power in my soul of giving thanks. And so, in our hearts, when we thank him, there will be a rising in our hearts and an awakening of a thank you down the road again and again. I didn't plan to say thank you, Lord, but that just kind of came out. Thank you, Lord. And maybe the other people, think, well, what's he thanking God for? Well, have you got the rest of the day? I'm thanking him because I've got air to breathe. I'm thanking him because there's a heart beating in my bosom. I'm thanking him because his life is in my soul. I'm thanking him because he's put a wife in my life. He's given us children. He's given us extended family. He's given us this family. You don't have time for me to tell you the benefits he's placed in my life. And should they all pass away by morning at his will, then that'd be okay. Because one of these days, you and I both will look back on this almost with the exception of the redemption that he's offered, almost like a, that's a child's playhouse, because he's getting us ready right now to spend eternity with him. By the way, are you ready? Do you know anything about giving thanks? Do you think that you are where you are, got what you got, because you've just been, I'm just a wise manager. Folks, before breakfast, you could lose everything you got. And the only thing you have that's secure is in Jesus Christ. And the one thing I'd rather have secure if I couldn't have anything else secure would be my soul. And your soul is made secure when you repent of your sin and give your life away to Jesus. Anybody here this morning need to do that? If so, bow with me right now, would you please? No other moving around in the building, please. Let's talk to God at this point. Father in heaven, thank you for a month of giving thanks. Thank you for an attitude of giving thanks. And thank you that on a preacher who some days does as little as anybody else to give thanks, thank you for taking your word and making it meaningful in my heart. Help me to know that it's good to give thanks before I enter the battlefield. And it certainly is the right thing to do as I deal with inner battles. It certainly was the thing that you taught us in your life to do on earth. And it certainly should become a way of life for me. Bless your people now. Give any that do not know you the capacity in this moment just to say, dear God, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I repent of my sin. Would you wash me and cleanse me and come into my heart and make me one of your children? Live in me and take me to your heaven when I die. Bless me now, O God, as I give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? Brother David leads us in this hymn of commitment and response. If you need to